We're back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Send in your wake and rake picks for tonight slash today because there's still daytime games you can get in there. Netherlands and Senegal at 11 a.m., which we just teed up. And Netherlands is one of my teams, as I remember. Justin and I, if you missed it on Friday, did a a computer-generated bracket selection. We had no say in it. The computer selected us both.
Until I had a say in it.
Well, we'll make sure we specifically call that out because it's going to be a point of contention, I'm sure.
I'll give England back right now if you want. Now that they've
they're 2 minutes into the match and you're over it?
Yeah, now that they've missed on a corner kick opportunity. If you want me to have Canada, I'll have Canada.
No, Justin, no, I don't want that.
Are you just going to bring it up every day?
Well, I'm just going to run it down one more time because people might have missed Friday's show and now it's the debut of the real deal here. The computer generated the following teams for us. Justin has Japan, Switzerland, Cameroon, Denmark, and then he had Costa Rica, who he dropped, and then he had...
We had a mulligan each.
Canada,
you had a mulligan as well,
dropped.
So let's not get... Your mulligan produced
yes,
mulligan, quite the team.
My mulligan. So I allowed him to hand-select England as his fifth selection.
It was generous of you, but also intentional in that you can now use it against me throughout the tournament.
I think ahead when I make these decisions. I'm always calculated.
Right.
So yes, Justin had hand-selected England with a pouty face. Please, I need a team that's good.
Exactly.
Let me have England. So he has England. My team, Netherlands, who are about to kick
start.
Off.
Good start.
Netherlands,
now,
Ghana.
You have to bet this, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't. We just talked about the parlay. It started before I get the parlay in.
Netherlands, Ghana, which as somebody who's been to Ghana and loved every second of it, I think that was fate.
Okay.
Selecting that for me. Uruguay, Senegal, and then with my free selection, Brazil.
Yes, the mulligan produced Brazil.
So I'm definitely going to...
Who are the plus 350
wipe
favorites?
Wipe the floor with you.
I mean, it's not a guarantee.
So the whole point of this is that the team that goes the furthest out of our squads...
Right.
Would be the winner of this challenge, and the loser will have to do another one of our show bets, which we know has produced Justin having to run the beep test and me having to dress progressively nicer from Monday to Friday into full formal wear, which I wore on Friday and today.
Mm-hmm.
Was very happy to not have to put on a dress and heels to come to work. So that will be our show bet. And good luck.
Let's get to the punishment.
Okay, so I think we've both decided that the punishment is as follows. The loser will have to go to a public place,
mm-hmm.
such as a park, and build an unironic, incredible snowman. Like, I'm talking top hat, scarf, button eyes, carrot nose, sticks for arms. It needs to be like...
Without assistance, too.
Without assistance. The premier snowman of this city. And you have to put in full effort.
Yes.
And I don't care. It has to take an average of 2 to 4 hours.
Okay.
This is going to be the nicest snowman ever constructed. And you have to do this unironically, just like go make a snowman and deal with like people looking at you and we'll rank your snowman. I just thought it just came to mind. And I think it'd be like the worst thing ever to have to build an actual snowman.
So the dressing up was worse for you, 100%. This one would be worse for me. And another stipulation here is that you can't be with it. Like, no one can help you.
No, you're just alone
so
building a snowman.
So I'm going to be a 30-year-old man at a park building a snowman. If someone doesn't call the cops on me, I think I'll be
especially
fortunate.
Especially with that stash.
Especially with this stash. Thankfully, the bet doesn't have to be cashed until the first snowfall after December 20th. I believe December 19th or 20th is the World Cup final. So, thankfully, I get to remove the stash before this goes down. Because, honestly, I think... The neighborhood would be concerned if I was out
but
there
I'm
building
so
a snowman
creative. Like, I kind of want to build the snowman just to see. Like, I don't think I've built a snowman since I was in grade 3 or 4.
I do not want to build the snowman.
Like, I wonder, the process is not easy. Like, I want a full life-size snowman to be created.
Yeah, you can't mail it in. And I promise you I won't mail it in, but mine won't be as good as yours just because I'm not an
Well, we're only going to see yours because your team is trash.
Hey, we'll see. I got England. Brazil disappoints, which, you know, they have before. They have many times. Neymar, a lot of pressure on that guy at this tournament. We never know what's going to happen. So the next show bet, build a snowman based on our World Cup teams. It's more ridiculous than anything we've done before. And I'm looking forward to it. Question for you. We'll just produce on the fly here.
Yeah.
Ross is a little bit late. Won't be able to join us right away.
Apparently he's in the air on an airplane.
We can get him at 8:30, which means we have to do the wake and rake sooner than later. So should we go to break and come back with the wake and rake? Are we ready to go with the wake and rake selections? I'm asking you if you need a moment here. We probably got to power through.
Let's power through.
Okay, so we got the wake and rake ready to rock.
Beam me up.
Beam us up. Okay, so we can quickly go over pick a side. We gained one on our buddies in the back here. We had the Patriots and Commanders, which cashed, and we had the Broncos as well. Couldn't make it a perfect sweep.
Okay, Broncos was tough because didn't go to OT, and we lost in a heartbreaker.
Yeah, but I mean, they had so many chances that we can't really be...
So we win Patriots and we win Commanders.
Yeah, and they lost.
And those guys had the most embarrassing loss of their history, probably.
Yeah, although we wanted it. Vikings plus 1.5. They lost by 37.
Hey, but you know what? That's big for us because we wanted that pick. They took it. And there's a lot of like drama on our show on Friday.
Exactly.
We had to go to breakfast and hash it out after because we were in a little bit of a fight. Because we really wanted Vikings. We lost Vikings. Then we really wanted Bears and we lost Bears. And now look at us. We won.
So, we got a little bit fortunate, I guess, that the lines moved. They pushed on the Bears, which isn't a loss, isn't a win, but is basically a loss because you don't win because it's basically just you get a point if you cover. And they did squeeze out Colts plus 7. So we gained one on them. We're 3 back, 13-10s the score right now. We needed another big week in order to close the gap. But we'll discuss that on Friday. Mm-hmm. For now, let's put together our wake and rake.
Okay, so we're just getting a couple wake and rake picks still coming in the text line. You have a couple minutes. Send it in 590-590. All right, one comment here is another stipulation should be he has to do it in his own neighborhood.
I will. I have to. There's a lot of park space near me. But it's a lot of, like, you know, there'll be kids.
They'll recognize you because you walk your dog.
I won't be the only one around, which is even more embarrassing. But, yeah, let's go England.
One final one, too. Don't forget Justin had Canada as mulligan before he cried to get England.
Well, Canada was our team. Like, you're not going to not
the listeners
root for
know.
Canada.
The listeners know.
Yeah.
Okay, so tonight we're teeing up Maple Leafs at home versus the New York Islanders, a massive John Tavares game. 7:30 start. And Arizona Cardinals versus the San Francisco 49ers. Those are our two, I guess, parlay anchor pieces that you could select from, but we're all ears to anything else. Do you have a same game parlay that you would like to, or was I too early on the...
I was planning to do the same game parlay in the break here.
Oh, let's make one up.
So we can make one on the fly if you want. Let's pull it up. So we got 8-point favorites, I believe.
49ers 8.5 here on Unibet.
8.5 on Unibet.
Oh, also, this is the Wake and Rake brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds.
Of course, and it's new time slot for one day and one day only. Honestly, I don't have too many plans off the top of
that's,
my head.
That's
but Christian McCaffrey and Eli Mitchell, a little two-headed monster for Jimmy G in the backfield. I feel like both of them could have a good night. Maybe you could do the passing and rushing for McCaffrey and just the rushing for Eli Mitchell if that's being offered right now. If it gets to scramble mode, maybe I'd look at what the over for Kyler Murray is throwing the ball, although he might not be in the lineup because he's hurt. So there's
right.
a lot.
Right, so this is difficult to tee up as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably tease down the 49ers, tease up the total, and then play those running backs. That would probably be my same game parlay. But because we can't really
do
this on the fly, maybe I'll have it for the last segment, but that's what I'm thinking right now.
So let me read you some selections for our wake and rake that come from this game. Big Mac, the real Big Mac, says Kittle over 41.5 receiving yards. Cardinals are the second worst in the league versus tight ends. Kittle has hit the over in 6 of the last 8 games against the Cardinals in his career, averaging 65 yards per game versus Arizona.
Big Mac is the tight end whisperer. I don't know if anyone knows that about him, but he is the tight end whisperer. So
name.
If he's picking an over for a tight end, it's probably best you play it.
Okay.
Maybe I'll throw that in the... that's what I'm going to do for the same game. It's just be every NFL pick from the text line.
Okay.
We'll be going into the same game parlay.
So Chris in Moncton has another one. I'm all over my Niners on Monday Night Football. Either San Francisco -8 or Christian McCaffrey over 106 rushing and receiving yards.
106 is a big total. I will say that. But I will put that in as well. I don't know if that's wake and rake worthy, but... Let's go San Fran, McCaffrey, Kittle. There it is.
Okay, those were our only two at this hour for Monday Night Football, so I'll give you the others in the text line here. Ron from Markham, of course. Good morning. We are so on fire. Let's keep it going. Are you listening to the right show? I know for the anchor, you would either like to do the Leafs or Monday Night Football, but with no Leafs player props out yet and not really anything good at Monday Night Football, we look for value in other games. And here you land on the Vegas Golden Knights. They are the best team in the Western Conference playing against one of the worst teams. Yeah, I did this before, Ron, and it didn't work. Knights are coming off a tough OT loss in Edmonton. Will bounce back big time against the Canucks. Take the Golden Knights to win in regulation -140. With her Warriors on a back-to-back, Giuliana says to take them as a road underdog. They're going into New Orleans and Zion is questionable. Curry is playing lights out and the Warriors look to get back-to-back road wins for the first time this season. Take the Warriors +5.
We missed the opportunity to right the ship with the Warriors and Giuliana because the Warriors absolutely smoked the Knicks, didn't they, over the weekend? I saw an early score. I'm assuming that it sort of held where it was, but that was the opportunity to play Giuliana's Golden State Warriors. A little golden theme from Ron and Giuliana.
Ooh,
Golden Knights,
gold as
Golden
money,
State Warriors.
Winning the money. The Waken Rake is golden.
Yeah, we'll keep that in mind. Anything else from the text
There's
line?
Two more. Ty in Stouffville. This morning's Waken Rake. Leafs and Islanders under 6.5 tees at -134.
So teased up from 6? It must be.
Yes. It's a flat 6 at Unibet.
Yeah. I don't like the 6. I understand why he's teasing it because 6 is, I don't know. Leafs in a 6 is tough. And the Islanders haven't been they've been a little bit more offensively.
I thought they were a great defensive team. That's all they are good at.
They are, but they've moved on from Maybe they're a little bit different. Mm. Again, I haven't been too in tune with exactly what the Islanders are doing.
Too in tune.
But I feel like they're what's wrong with 2-2?
No, it's good.
Too in tune with what they're doing, but they seem a little bit more capable offensively than they did last season.
Final selection here, Parlay Poppy, who... I have to read the first part of the text. Poems are officially retired after our beloved Eilish butchered a perfectly rhyming poem and read it like a true hockey player. Still love the team. I'll take way more than ruining my poem to get me to stop texting in.
We may have to pull that poem up again because I remember it decidedly didn't rhyme. But again, it might have been the way you were reading it. I have no idea. Maybe he's right.
This is Parlay Poppy's actual selection. Fire up the Barbie. Parlay Poppy's cooking up another winner. Taking Wales double chance at 153, meaning as long as Wales wins or the game ends in a draw, the pick hits. 333 million people in the United States still can't find a goal scorer. I personally think it's 1-0 Wales or 1-1 draw, but Wales double chance is the pick.
I like that. We'll have to pull that up, the double chance, because I think I want the double chance with the Netherlands. However, that I can't play because it's -560. So
-560.
So I don't mind. I don't know if it's going to be an all World Cup parlay. I don't think you're going to be going that route.
I got hockey.
I'm just going to put mine in. The number's moving against me, which I'm a little concerned with. But I'm just going to go to the Netherlands -139 right now on Unibet to beat Senegal. Again, I think Sadio Mane is the one chance they really have to score Senegal. And I think Netherlands is potentially... I wouldn't say juggernaut, but I think they have the potential to go on, not just go on a run, but be very entertaining while doing so. Mm-hmm. And I think entertaining teams that are playing in slightly mismatched opposition are going to have the chance to put up a bunch of goals. So I think it could be, I kind of like the -1, but to be a little bit more conservative and to try not to push the parlay, I will go Netherlands -139 over Senegal as my Waken Rake.
And they're my Netherlands, and Devang also liked this selection, so we'll just toss that in there. I like it a lot.
He was a little concerned about the goal scoring. I didn't think that would be the issue.
But just to win, just to win.
Devang's much smarter than me, but I will go with just the win. Netherlands start things off for your squad with a win.
I'm going to be putting in over 6.5 goals between the Oilers and the Devils. Both teams can put the puck in the net. If you look at the NHL board tonight, I like this game in terms of a game I like to watch as well. Bruins and Lightnings is a good one as well. And then other than that, Stars and Avalanche are just two of the ones that I circled as games of intrigue. But I think the Oilers and the Devils have a lot of goal scoring prowess, mm-hmm. as we've mentioned, and over 6.5. I like that number a lot. So it's going to be added to our parlay And we're going to pick one more here.
That screams like a line that's going to go to seven. So maybe the earlier, the better to get that one. It feels like money will come on the over just because those are two of the highest scoring teams in the league right now.
So if we're looking at adding our anchor, where would you like to begin with that?
Well, the Wales double chance is minus 200, I believe. So I don't think we can go that route. I don't love anything in the Leaf game, to be honest. I feel like teasing it up is never the
Monday Night
greatest
Football.
Thing to do, especially if it goes to overtime. There's six goals, but you get that seventh guaranteed anyway. So I'm willing to go to Monday Night Football. I kind of feel like Kittle's the pick at over 41.5. Because McCaffrey, that's a big number. 107 yards, whether it's on the ground and through the air combined, is still a big number. San Francisco is not necessarily going to be motivated to win the game by more than 8 points. They don't have to. Like, that's, if you get to the point where they're winning by seven and they can just run out the clock, they'll just do that. So I don't like to lay the points too much. I'd rather go with Kittle over 41. That could be done in two, three receptions. What is it?
It is now 44.5.
It's different, but it's not.
It's three different yards.
It's complete. It's not like game changing.
First of all, did you know this game is being played in Mexico?
I did not know that. They're really going international.
Mexico City, this game is tonight. Did anybody know that?
I did not.
This is like when the NHL says, "Oh, by the way, we're in Sweden for puck drop," and you're like, "Who's?"
I'm sure they do a little bit better of a job marketing, just because the standard is so low with the NHL. But again, I just don't think it matters. Like, they're just trying new things. But
I mean, it's pretty cool. I'd like to play a game in Mexico City, but I didn't really know what's happening.
Who is technically the home team?
Cardinals.
Okay, so they lose their home field advantage a little bit.
So if you want to put Kittle over 44.5 receiving yards in the parlay.
Let's throw Kittle in.
We're going to add that. We're going to add Netherlands, just full-time victory over Senegal. And I'm going to put in over 6.5 goals in the Oilers and New Jersey Devils. On Unibet, our parlay is +456. 456. I like it.
I like that. I thought it was going to be lower than that.
Well, Kittle really helped us.
Do you want to review Grey Cup prop bet? Or
I would like to review our Grey Cup prop bet.
Just because it gives you another chance to have a victory lap?
So on Friday, we ran down just some quick random Grey Cup props inspired by Super Bowl prop bets with zero thought, just gut feeling. The coin toss was heads, which I selected correctly. And the big turning point was, would the winner of the coin toss win the game? And I said no. And that was also correct as
I said yes.
You did say yes. So I won both of those.
I'm showing my investment level in this.
The anthem length, we had both said over. It was set at 110.
It was right on the number.
It might have been 111.
Like, you should be in Vegas. You set that line yourself, right?
I rewatched that anthem, and because like the clip online, obviously it's got some intro, outro fluff, but I set a timer the second she opened her mouth to say, oh, and when she finished that final note, but the problem is she holds the note for a little while, right?
Well, so, the problem is the fighter jets out the voice.
So it was hard to know
but
when
it ended. I think with NHL review, you can kind of make an insinuation based on the information
that
you had.
And I honestly think a minute and 11 would be when
I think she held that note. I think she held that note beyond the,
so we both won
the
that
fighter
one.
Jets. Either way, it didn't matter. But you get a boost my ego with at least one point here.
We both said over and it hit barely.
I will say, how did you come up with that line?
I just went with my gut, Justin.
You just know off the top of your head how
anthems.
Long O Canada is? How long Star Spangled Banner?
Don't worry about it. Ask me that for the Super Bowl. Okay, so first score, we both said it would be a field goal. You're both correct on that. The first pass, you said it would be incomplete. You were correct on that. So then there's your first actual win. And then songs in the halftime show, over 5.5, I said over, and I was very right with that.
So that was the difference, too.
I don't think...
What was the final count on songs?
I stopped at 8. I think it was 8.
8 songs? Well, what were they doing?
Okay,
what
it was
do we
3
need 8
people.
Songs and a...
Fan on the field, I don't think I saw one. Did you see one?
No.
We both said no anyway. And then the color of the winning liquid, I said blue. You said clear because you're
color
so...
Color of the winning liquid.
So boring, and it was orange. And then we both got the MVP selection incorrect.
Yeah, Enoch Mwamba won instead of either Andrew Harris. I mean, you should have been dog points for Andrew Harris' pick. That's just a heart pick.
Whatever.
How many rushes did he have in the game?
Who cares?
I had Zach Caleros, yeah.
So I end up with 5 correct, Justin with 3, so I win the Grey Cup prop bet. Thank you for coming out.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if you win the snowman bet.
Okay, so our Wake and Rake, nailed that in there. I was just going to tell you that tonight I believe that John Tavares will continue to score goals. I'm going to give you his points. Player multi-goals for Tavares is plus 850. Mm-hmm. But the core four has been getting points like nobody's business. And for John Tavares to get 3 points, plus 1050.
Okay.
Just $5.
What has Matthews' goal scoring line changed at all this year? What is him to score a goal tonight?
For him just to score a goal.
Because it's been minus money all year, right?
Mm-hmm. It's and that was the thing minus that was, 120 still.
Minus 120. I feel like I saw a minus 140 recently, which is crazy, considering the fact that he's not scoring goals even close to the rate he was last year. But last year, didn't it hang out in the plus money range even when he was on his tear?
You guys I can remember
you
last
guys,
year.
But I remember you guys playing it all the time. You were playing the Matthews goal props and just nailing them night after night.
How about when Frank said that he thought I was good at betting? Today?
I don't know. You've got...
I thought, Frankie, are you all right?
Well, you're not?
Well, he said he thought I was specifically good at betting.
You've made your reputation on the just $5. You've shared a couple...
It was just nice of him to throw that out there.
Yeah, he didn't say that about me.
No, he didn't. He skipped right over you.
Yeah, he did.
He must have listened to that week where you got every pick wrong because then it ran out of
Or so
me.
Last week for you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's round this up. By the way, currently at $400 raised on my Movember page for our Wake and Rake bet. So got a couple more days to keep that going.
We still haven't made you double anything. So we need to get at least one Wake and Rake victory here in November. And we've got about a week and a half left to do it. So we hopefully have Ross Tucker after the break. So that was a premature Unibet Wake and Rake, but that's all right. We'll recap what we actually did at the end of the hour, but we'll go to break now and we'll see if we can connect with Ross to do a little NFL roundtable, a little NFL discussion with Ross Tucker. Fingers crossed after the break. This is the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Justin Cuthbert and Ailish Forfar. You can follow us on socials at JC Cuthbert and at Ailish Forfar. You got the good handle, eh? I hate my handle.
Just change it.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
Everything is picked up.
There's somebody with the name Justin Cuthbert?
On any social media app, whatever I would want is taken. I can't
change it. I've never had that issue, as you can imagine.
No, you're good. That's, do you like your name?
I didn't like it growing up because... Every time that there's like a substitute teacher, they'd be going through the names and you would know they'd just pause. They'd be like, Rebecca, blah, blah, blah.
Rebecca.
And everyone would look at me and giggle and I'd be like, it's Ailish. And they'd be like, Ailish. And then they'd never get it right from that point on still. And then whenever I'd be at an opposing arena and they'd announce the lineup or every time I scored a hat trick, they'd say my name.
look at you.
They'd have to say your name when you're in the penalty box, whatever. They'd never get it right.
Remember the name Forfar.
Everybody would giggle and I didn't like it. And then whenever I went to, Starbucks, I'd say Ashley.
There's no chance you get your Starbucks order right.
No.
There's no chance. I
used to just make up a name, like just be like, Laura. Like I just like on the spot, just. First name that came to my head.
Do you know anyone else named, like, there's even famous people named Ailish?
Yeah, me.
Other than you.
Now I get Billie Eilish all the time.
No, but there are no other famous Ailishes.
I don't think so. Other. But people know, like, Billie Eilish, obviously, is very similarly spelled. And they'll be like, oh, you named after Billie Eilish? I'm like, I'm like 20 years older than Billie Eilish, okay? She's named after me.
What's that?
She's named after me.
She's named after you. Okay. So, at least, yeah, there's one benefit. You get whatever handle you want, which is just your name, which is nice.
Do you know my middle name story?
No.
So, my middle name is Lee.
Okay, that's...
So, my initials are Alf.
Alf.
I know. ALF. Pretty good. You know, that stupid, creepy movie. But,
See, my handle's so bad, I have to put my initial in.
Which is
JC
what?
Cuthbert. It's awful. I know one person in the world calls me JC.
Anyway, the story about my middle name is that on my birth certificate, it's spelled L-E-I-G-H, And then on my health card, it's spelled L-E-A-H because I guess my parents both filled out these forms separately and didn't.
That's funny.
They were like, I got one, you got one. And it's spelled different on both of them. And I have a dilemma every time I need to go do something and provide like proof of who I am. They're like, oh, I don't know. Why is it spelled different? I'm like, do you think that really, like, there's another Ailish Forfar that I'm impersonating, that my name, my middle name is spelled incorrectly on both of these forms? And it's a hassle. And my parents are listening, and they could have fixed this 20 blank years ago.
I feel like you could fix it if you wanted to.
I could. But so my proper name would be L-E-I-G-H because it's on my passport and my birth certificate. But why is my health card a completely different Lee? I don't know.
It's a must be a stressful day filling out all those forms post birth. I assume it's a stressful
you
day
think?
Where you're you know, you gotta get on the same
page. They
didn't
agree on this before I came out of the womb.
Maybe they didn't write it down.
And the other thing about my parents,
they agreed verbally.
I've asked them, I don't know, dozens of times when I was born. They have no idea.
What do you mean they have no idea
what time of day it was? It's like it didn't even resonate in their life. I said, was it the morning?
It's just another Sunday.
Was it the morning? Could have been the morning. Well, when? Actually, it might have been late afternoon. And then one of them remembers it being in the middle of the night. Nobody knows when I was born. It's so meaningless to them. The second child.
Oh, you're really calling them out right now.
I know they're listening. That's why. Anyway.
We're going to get Ross in a couple minutes here. We promise. But I think what's going to center our discussion, you know, it's a pretty big day. You know, the NFL kind of slid in terms of importance yesterday with World Cup, Grey Cup. It was sort of in the background, the second screen throughout. But the big thing from yesterday is changes at the top of the NFC. Like, Philly still won, and someone in the text line was quick to, I said, sputtering, and they're like, took great exception
to
sputtering.
Yeah, Mike and Asnaboy, I hated that.
Beating Indy by one after getting destroyed by the Commanders is sputtering.
Honestly, Jeff Saturday, winner, though, because he's not embarrassing himself.
No, he's not. I was sniffing around the Coach of the Year odds.
Is he in there
with
yet?
Jeff Saturday. He's there. He's there.
Is it crazy?
I feel like he'd have to win out to get it, but that didn't happen,
he obviously could do that.
Well, he just lost.
I know, but still.
But the other changes, like the New York Giants had the third best record in the NFC, and they got pretty handily beaten. And also the Minnesota Vikings, who were the darlings for a bit there. 8-1, getting all the attention. Kirk Cousins changing the narrative. And they got destroyed by 37 points at home to the Dallas Cowboys, who might be, despite the fact that they're not leading in the division, they might be the best team in the entire NFC right now with that defensive core, with Dak Prescott back, with that two-headed monster at tailback, with Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. When it's one or the other, it doesn't seem like they operate at their best ability. But when both of them are options, when Pollard's catching passes out of the back, when Zeke's on the goal line, they're really, really dangerous. So I feel like there might be a little changing of the guard happening here with the NFC, or at least at the top of the NFC. And then one other thing that remains a constant is just the Kansas City Chiefs. They were like, it was pretty tight. They're not necessarily blowing everyone out of the water, but they just find a way every single time. They go down with, you know, a minute left, negligible time left yesterday to the LA Chargers. Patrick Mahomes, 2-minute drill. Travis Kelce.
It's Travis Kelce.
Automatic every single time. Mm-hmm. And Travis Kelce leads the NFL in receiving touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes should be the runaway favorite right now for the MVP. And it seems like they're the only team that hasn't really hit a snafu yet. Yes, they lost to the Bills. Yeah, they lost to the Colts before Jeff Saturday showed up. But it seems like they're the one team that's a sure thing at the moment. And it's tougher in the AFC. But if you're looking at any team to just like perform from week to week, it's the Kansas City Chiefs because you can't really trust anyone else.
I want to go back to the Vikings because I think we've both had this. Well, you've definitely had this dilemma as a Vikings fan that you didn't give them enough respect.
You just know. You know they're not good. You know they're not good. Even when the record's 8-1, you know they're not good.
Okay. Do you care about this? They're 7-0 in one score games this season.
Well, I guess that stat. You know, stays intact because you lost by 37 to one of the few playoff teams you've faced this year.
They're the first team in NFL history to have an 8-2 record after 10 games with a negative point differential.
They have a negative point differential right now?
They have a negative point.
Are you kidding me?
They're the first team in NFL history to have an 8-2 record or better after 10 games.
That is not real.
With a negative point differential.
That is not real.
It's real.
I refuse to acknowledge that is real.
It's real. Isn't that insane?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I felt like I got into this trap last year where it's like, there's no good teams. And it's hard to, like, you look at the NFC and there's, you know, there's one team with an amazing record, 9-1. Mm-hmm. But you feel like they don't even believe how good they are after they added two guys off the scrap heap to try and shore up their defensive line. You've got the Vikings who, again, negative point differential. The Giants were third in the conference. They're not good. I think the Cowboys are good, but they're not even going to finish in the top four unless they chase down the Eagles. And then you got the AFC where it's a little bit, I feel like there's some of the same conversation even going on. Like the Bills, again, were not that impressive. They won fairly handily. They did cover a pretty large number, but did they impress you?
No, they didn't. And I'm starting to feel a little bit anxious about the Bills. Yes, they got a way to win, and it was like, oh, they had a lot going on this week. They had to change locations. They were basically snowed under, but I don't know.
And it wasn't necessarily...
It feels like a step backwards.
And it wasn't necessarily that Josh Allen played poorly either. Like, it's not even that he's affected by
And it wasn't like the last time that they played with it, with the, you know, making boneheaded decisions at the end of the game, throwing away, like, red zone interceptions. Like, it just felt like those were, okay, clearly that was a massive error. That wasn't yesterday's game. It was just, it was fine.
Here's another team. Baltimore Ravens barely get by the Carolina Panthers, cannot score at all in the game. Like, it was 3-3 until, I think, the fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm. 3-3.
And they had issues the week before scoring. You got Lamar Jackson, who might be the single most talented player in the NFL, like athlete, single most talented athlete. He can do everything. He can do it all. But you can't even put a decent level of support around him to make sure that that offense can get going against the Carolina Panthers and a defense that I guess they didn't sell off from their defense, but that team's not trying to win. They traded their best player this season. They're not interested in being good. And yet the Baltimore Ravens can't pull away from them. Then you got the Tennessee Titans, who are so bad on paper, and yet they continue to win games themselves. Like, I'm just trying to figure out right now who actually has something for, say, the Kansas City Chiefs. Do the Bills have something? They better hold home field advantage.
Well, the Bills have the Lions and the Patriots next.
How heartbreaking it would be
and if, then
there was,
the Jets.
If there was thunder snow for like an AFC championship game with the Bills and you lose that home field advantage.
How crazy is it too that they end up having to go to Detroit and then they're back to Detroit on Thursday because Thursday is going to be absolutely the best day of all time possibly. Bills and Lions at 12:30, Giants and Cowboys at 4:30, Patriots and Vikings at 8:20. It's like a full American Thanksgiving day of joy. Mm-hmm. You just never leave your couch. But the Bills have to go to Detroit on this like last-minute emergency evacuation plane. They come, they play, they go back, and then they're going to turn right around and go back to Detroit to play them on the road. Just a weird coincidence of that. And then they play the Patriots on the road, and then they're home on December 11th, which I'll be seeing. The Jets come into town, and we have some Jets audio to play.
They might have had the worst week.
They might have had the worst week. We played two clips from the Jets, but we have Garrett Wilson, right, calling out the Jets.
Yeah.
Let's play that clip.
You were among the more frustrated coming off the field. I mean, is it, you could cool down a little bit, but I mean, what was going through your mind in the moment?
Sorry. We out here looking sorry, man. And we know that we're not sorry. So that's why it really, really hurts, you know? We know that we're better than that. That's why it hurts. That's why it's frustrating for me, because we can do more. And I, you know, honestly, I feel like they got to put some more trust in the receiver room. I feel like we can go up and make plays, do things, and you know, I don't know if everyone feel that way, but hopefully, you know, by the time we get around next week, you know, everyone feel that way, and we got to have a great week of practice.
Zach Wilson is the problem, though.
Yeah, I mean, he is.
Justin, he's terrible.
He is. Averaged 2.77 inches per play in the second half versus the Patriots. That game was so frustrating to watch.
Can you imagine being there and paying money for that?
Yeah, I mean,
those were the biggest losers of the week. People that paid.
You need a full charge on your phone to make sure that you could watch other games and watch other scores.
Yeah, use Rogers Ignite and stream.
Exactly. no, they're in a really rough spot, and it's really too bad because that is a really spectacular defense. Like, it's not that, you know, Mac Jones is particularly dangerous or like the biggest test in the world. But holding them to punt after punt after punt and get nothing from it is a disaster. Not that it really, really matters in the grand scheme, but it's disappointing. We are connected now with Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker podcast, who's traveling. What's going on this morning? Is it, you know, are we trying to get through Buffalo and 6 feet of snow?
Oh, man. I almost wish that was the case. You know what's funny? I learned a long time ago that nobody really cares about other people's travel issues, right? But I just want to give you guys the visual of I called the Chargers-Chiefs game last night. So it ended at like 8:30 Pacific time in Los Angeles. My flight was 10:15. It's like 2 miles from SoFi Stadium. When I tell you that the car didn't move for like 30 minutes. I'm telling you, the car didn't move for 30 minutes. So I am not like a passive person. I got out of the car with my computer bag and my roller board, and I attempted to run the entire 2.75 miles from SoFi Stadium to LAX. And I still didn't make it. My button down was totally drenched. So probably only the second time in my life I didn't make a flight. And I mean, I was trying to hitchhike, which is probably not real smart. I was in a bad neighborhood. I was like going under highways, like just sprinting, trying to make the flight. I ended up getting on a different flight, and then that was delayed by an hour. So I literally just landed 4 minutes ago, hopped in the car now to drive back to central Pennsylvania. And thankfully, I still have, 10 minutes to talk football with you guys.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We'll get to as much of it as we can and try not to waste any more time. I want to talk to you about the Cowboys first and foremost, because they certainly had the biggest statement win. But it comes after a loss to the Packers, in which they blew a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. And I guess those things happen, but was that victory over Minnesota more real than what we saw a week ago versus the Packers, in that they can be a team that can not just beat the best in the NFC, but can dominate the best in the NFC?
So what I think is interesting about it, you know, it doesn't really matter if you have a dominating win, right? Like, they won by a million and looked awesome, and the Eagles didn't look very good, and they had to come from behind to beat the Colts by one. But nobody cares about that in December or January. It just goes as one in the win column. I will say this, though. I think it can inspire the team in the sense that, hey, when we really are clicking on all cylinders, we really are legit. We really are as good as anyone. I think I saw where this morning where the Cowboys now have the second-best odds to win the Super Bowl after the Chiefs, which is saying something because they already have three losses. But I guess they were that impressed with the total team effort by the Cowboys. You know, when Dak Prescott plays well, and now that they've figured out that Tony Pollard's clearly their best ball carrier, they look like an awfully dangerous team. And I say that, but then, you know, you never know. Like, how do we know the next time they come out on Thursday against the Giants, maybe they play like crap and they lose the game. What really matters is which team is playing like Dallas did yesterday in January. Which team is really playing their best football at the end of the year? Because the Cowboys are going to the playoffs, obviously.
Mm-hmm. It seems Pollard is key, but it seems like having both of them is key as well. Like, it's been kind of either or. It's been Pollard filling in or Zeke getting all the carries when Pollard should get more. But when they're both available, when they're both can play to their strengths, you got Zeke goal line, you got Pollard out of the back. It just seems like if they can utilize both of them, that's the best version of the Cowboys.
Totally agree. I think that's a fantastic point because it was very obvious that the goal line work is not Pollard's strength. yesterday. And so it's like, I think maybe twice Pollard was struggling, you know, or got him down there. And then they put Zeke in, and Zeke just has a real knack for those short yardage goal line runs. I mean, he's probably the highest paid short yardage goal line back in the history of the NFL, but for right now, at least, that's his role.
Ross, can Travis Kelce do anything more to solidify just how impressive he is? Can he continue to impress you at any other level? Like, if we were talking about this before he brought you on, he's automatic, right? Every game, just you need something from him, he delivers. How do you even begin to sum up like what kind of impact he has on this team?
Right. I would probably add Mahomes to that as well. It's just unbelievable, you know, calling that game last night after the Chargers scored the touchdown. I would love to have known, like we talk about this kind of stuff on my Even Money Betting podcast, I would love to have known what the odds were, if you were live betting, that the Chiefs were going to come right back down and score a touchdown. Like, is there anybody in the galaxy that didn't think Mahomes would take him down the field and throw a touchdown probably to Travis Kelce? It is just, it's incredible. I think I said during the game, or maybe I tweeted at Ross Tucker NFL, I've seen this movie so many times. I mean, and it happens over and over again. In terms of Kelce impressing me, you know, he could be a better blocker, but nobody cares about that other than me as a former offensive lineman. I mean, he could be a better blocker for sure. But, no, it's incredible. And, honestly, I put a lot of that on Brandon Staley. You know, I know Derwin James is a really good player, but I think they were asking an awful lot of Derwin James to have him in man-to-man on Travis Kelce as often as they did last night. I don't care how good you are. That is really, really tough duty, putting him in a bad spot. And I don't think, like, in my mind, there's no way Bill Belichick would have done that. There's no way Bill Belichick would have consistently allowed the other team to beat him with their best player, especially when they didn't have Juju Smith-Schuster, they didn't have Mecole Hardman. I put a decent amount of that on Brandon Staley.
Ross Tucker is our insider, and our insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Ross, I got to ask you about the Philadelphia Eagles, who eke out a one-point victory over the Indianapolis Colts and Jeff Saturday. This is 2 weeks in a row where it hasn't looked dominant from them. They spend the week adding to their defensive line with Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph. Where do you gauge where Philly's at after a trying week, but in the end, I guess a successful one?
You know, it's funny because I had said a lot this week, this past week, I did a lot of stuff in Philly that I thought was the biggest game of the year, in the sense that either the Commanders game was like a one-game aberration and just a minor blip on the radar screen, or, you know, the Eagles have sort of this fatal flaw, or everyone is going to copy what the Commanders did and be able to beat them. It feels like it's kind of in between. You know, I mean, the Colts marched guys on their first drive on the ground with Jonathan Taylor for a touchdown. And I was thinking, oh, boy, you know, they didn't fix it. But then the rest of the game, they actually did a really good job stopping the run. And the two guys they signed last week, Linval Joseph, as well as Ndamukong Suh, they were a big part of it, like a really big part of it. Both those guys played extremely well. So they weren't sharp on offense, but I'm not really worried about the Eagles offensively. They needed to prove that they could get it done with the run defense, and they did. If you actually watch the game, I mean, they had a bunch of penalties in clutch situations. They actually were moving the ball pretty decently, other than those penalties that really hurt them and not having Goddard. I think the Eagles will be in pretty good shape moving forward, but we'll see. They play Sunday night against the Packers, which should be an interesting one.
All right, Ross, before we let you go quickly, Cowboys and Giants have emerged as two of the favorites to sign Odell Beckham Jr. After this Thanksgiving holiday, by the way. Happy early Thanksgiving to you and all the Americans down south. How incredible would it be to have him play with the Cowboys, not the Giants? We want the Cowboys.
Likewise, on the Thanksgiving, and wow, it's so interesting growing up in the Northeast my whole life to hear someone say down south. That was incredible.
South of the border.
I'll actually be calling the Giants Cowboys game on Thursday for Westwood One. You know what should happen? Odell should go to the game. And, like, whoever wins gets the Odell trophy after the game. You know what's so interesting? I got to be honest with you. Like, this guy is a marketing genius. The amount of time we have spent talking about what team he's going to go to. And it's funny because a lot of times the teams themselves don't want to talk about that because what if they don't get the guy and their fans? The Cowboys have taken an entirely different tact where they've been so public about it, so outspoken about it, because they want Odell to kind of feel that love and feel the amount of attention you get as a Cowboy. My prediction is that he is one of the most ineffectual signings of all time when he signed with a team. I mean, he hasn't played all year. He's coming off a torn ACL in the Super Bowl. I just don't think he's going to have a major impact. I think it's a lot more bark than it is bite.
Maybe he'll sell a lot of tickets, and that's something that organizations will see as a win. Ross, appreciate you joining us on a little bit of a chaotic morning for you. We'll talk to you next week and have some turkey for us.
Thank you, and sorry. Obviously, this was not my
desire. Don't apologize.
I thought I'd be almost home by now.
Don't you worry.
Great to talk with you guys, as always.
You as well.
Appreciate
safe travels. Thanks, Ross. Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Podcast. And our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. And also, quickly before we go, you can visit MyFrontPageStory.com. Ross Tucker has that site where you can get your front page stories, a perfect place for your holiday needs. Take a look. We talked about this last season. It's a great holiday gift. Take a look.
I'm going to have to check that out. Good thing I didn't waste my money on the England and the under, because they've already scored three in the first half. England rolling. My team looking good, Ailish.
All right. That was us for the Fan Morning Show this morning. Leafs and Islanders tonight at 7:30 p.m. on home ice. You got the Niners and the Cardinals playing in Mexico City tonight, still at 8:15 p.m. And we'll set all that up, or we'll tee all that up tomorrow. Congrats to the Toronto Argos on their big championship as well.
Got one more Argos for us?
Argos!